First reading this morning comes from Song of Solomon, chapter 2, verses 8 through 13. It's from the Jerusalem Bible. And this is all about love. Could be between a person in the church or man and a wife, but it's all about love. I hear my beloved. See how he comes leaping on the mountains, bounding over the hills. My beloved is like a gazelle, like a young stag. See where he stands behind our wall? He looks in at the window. He peers through the lattice. My beloved lifts up his voice, and he says to me, "Come then, my love, my lovely one, come. For see, winter is past, the rains are over and gone. The flowers appear on the earth. The season of glad songs has come. The cooing of the turtle dove is heard in our land. The fig tree is forming its first figs, and the blossoming vines give out their fragrance. Come then, my love, my lovely one, come." Second reading comes from Mark. It's also from Jerusalem Bible. This is all about rules and about God will still love you, dirty hands and all. It's a sin it's sin that's going to keep you apart from God. You know, it's not your dirty hands. So anyway, this is all about rules. The Pharisees and some of the scribes who had come from Jerusalem gathered around him. And they noticed that some of his disciples were eating with unclean hands, that is, without washing them. For the Pharisees and the Jews in general follow the tradition of the elders and never eat without washing their arms as far as the elbow. And on returning from the marketplace, they never eat without first sprinkling themselves. There are also many other observances which have been handed down to them concerning the washing of cups and pots and bronze dishes. So these Pharisees and scribes asked him, "Why do your disciples not respect the tradition of the elders, but eat their food with unclean hands?" He answered, "It was of you hypocrites that Israel so rightly prophesies in this passage of Scripture. This people honors me only with lip service, while their hearts are far from me. The worship they offer me is worthless. The doctrines they teach are only human regulations. You put aside the commandment of God to cling to human traditions." And he said to them, "How ingeniously you get round the commandments of God in order to preserve your own tradition." He called the people to him again and said, "Listen to me, all of you, and understand. Nothing that goes into a man from outside can make him unclean. It is the things that come out of a man that make him unclean. For it is from within, from men's hearts, that evil intentions emerge. Fornication, theft, murder, adultery, abhorrence, malice, deceit, indecency, envy, slander, pride, folly, all these evil things come from within and make a man unclean." The word of God for the people of God.
This is one of those texts from Mark's gospel where I felt like I had to even add a verse. You notice that Chris read verse 9, and it wasn't on the list. That was my choice. How ingeniously you get around the commandment of God in order to preserve your own tradition. I mean, we're facing saint season coming up. It's going to be hard to keep the traditions of God ahead of the traditions of go saints. I mean, what's one of the great traditions in New Orleans? I mean, we know how to hate, right? Falcons, right? Dirty birds. I mean, that's a well-established, long-standing tradition among us. I mean, it's one thing to deal with everybody else. They're competitors, but then they're the Falcons, you know? I mean, oh, goodness. But that's the whole business, is that if you'll listen to what I'm about to read from James and also what Chris just read to us from Mark's gospel, you get the conviction that everything that is inherently good. What we do with it is what brings the corruption. Sonny's question was a good one. Is the devil real? Interestingly enough, Jesus doesn't deal with the Satan issue in this text that Chris just read. He says that every evil deed emerges from within each one of us. not going to some external tempter, but rather recognizing that what we choose, every evil thing, he says, emerges from within. And some of them were we didn't really want them to be on the list. For instance, folly, foolishness. You can't really blame us for that. But on the other hand, Jesus says, all these evil things come from within and make a man unclean. You see, it's not about how high up we wash. I mean, all the way to the elbows. Or whether we use antiseptic soap or just plain soap or Dove or whatever it is you have around your kitchen sink. It's what matters is that you are willing to let the love of God made known to us in Christ be the transforming and renewing impulse that takes the good creation that we have tended to corrupt and make it wholly good again. Anyway, let me share with you this reading about pure, unspoiled religion that the letter of James shares with us. And it's become a reality for me that whenever I read from the letter of James, I now think of Dan McNeil because of his great enjoyment of this particular letter. And yet it comes home to us today on this 10th anniversary of Katrina in a very real way, because in some ways this church's finest hour to listen to Dan was realized in the months, really the year after Hurricane Katrina, when without any great motivation other than we knew we had to do it, we knew we had the opportunity, this church mobilized to become a light on a hill for a community that was in great trouble and for people that we would never, ever see. But this is what James wrote way back, probably towards the end of the first century A.D. It is all that is good, everything that is perfect, which is given us from above. It comes down from the Father of all light. With him there is no such thing as alteration, no shadow of a change. By his own choice he made us his children by the message of the truth, so that we should be a sort of first fruits of all that he had created. Now, I have to stop here because it helps us understand what's the point of having the Christian church. Is it where those who are the good people get to go and gather and worship God in isolation? Or is it something much more, that we, by the grace of God, have been chosen to be the first fruits of all that he had created? We have a special role. We have a responsibility, not merely privilege. It is a privilege to be a child of God. But to be a child of God who is the first fruits of the goodness that God will harvest in each and every one of us, that presents us with a massive responsibility. And on the way to fulfilling that responsibility, this counsel applies. Remember this, my dear brothers. Be quick to listen, but slow to speak, and slow to rouse your temper. Now, if I just stopped right there and read that about 17, 18, 400, 9,000 times, and had you to the point where you could say it with me, think about how much better this world would be if we said nothing else. Quick to listen, but slow to speak, and slow to rouse your temper. If I listened to it when I got in my car, I would be better. But you see, that's the challenge that we all face. God has fashioned us to be the first fruits of the redemption of all that God has created. The first sign for the world to know the truth about God. And yet the minute we get into difficult situations, tense relationships, or the Falcons are on TV, it's very hard for us to be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to rouse our temper. But here's the ringing affirmation that follows it. God's righteousness is never served by man's anger. Don't you wish the people perpetrating horror across the Middle East, ISIL, ISIS, whatever you want to call them, don't you wish they had access to James's wisdom? God's righteousness is never served by man's anger. But you see, it's easy to pick on the bad guys who hide in their black masks, to stand in front of the mirror and hear again, God's righteousness is never served by man's anger. God's righteousness is never served by my anger or yours. It's a powerfully important moment of grace for us this morning. James continues, so do away with all the impurities and the bad habits that are still left in you. Easier said than done, right? I mean, I remember when my mom tried to stop smoking. Oh my goodness, what was it going to take? Willpower was not enough. Aversion therapy was first. That didn't work. She just wanted more cigarettes. How about the gum? The nicotine helped. But what did she want as soon as she stopped with the gum? A cigarette. Counseling. Yeah, got better, but still. Hypnosis. What did it take to do away with impurities? But see, I don't want to just pick on my mother. What about me? What about you? So do away with all the impurities and bad habits that are still left in you. Accept and submit to the word which has been planted in you and can save your souls. You see, Jesus was very, very much on target with those Pharisees who were upset that his disciples weren't obeying all the rules. And it really turns out that the rules, as Jesus points out, were really traditions, human traditions. And in fact, he says, it's amazing how ingenious you are in finding ways to subvert the teachings of God in order to perpetuate your human traditions. How clever we can be to keep having it our way. Instead of receiving this word, which James says has been planted in us and can save our souls, it has the power already in us to transform our lives and to become a transforming and renewing influence for another when they see how we have been changed. But you must do what the word tells you. And not just listen to it and deceive yourselves. To listen to the word and not obey it is like looking at your own features in a mirror and then, after a quick look, going off and immediately forgetting what you looked like. But the man who looks steadily at the perfect law of freedom and makes that his habit, not listening and then forgetting, but actively putting it into practice, will be happy in all that he does. You see, in those moments, we are not defined by the evil of others or even by the evil that emerges from within. When we look steadily at the perfect law of freedom, freedom to do the right thing in God, by God, for God, that the love of God might become evident, we will be happy in all that we do. In the midst of every struggle, because the struggles will be there, we will be happy in all that we do. In the face of resentment and rejection, we can be happy in all that we do if we remember that this word is planted within us by the grace of God to set us free, to mark us as a disciple of Christ, and to commission us as an agent of transformation, one who tells the world, you don't have to live that way any longer. You can follow me as I am following Christ. Nobody must imagine that he is religious while he still goes on deceiving himself and not keeping control over his tongue. Of all the organs that James could have chosen as the critical worst offender It's the one that we use most frequently. Jesus knew it. All these evil intentions emerge from within, and they most often take expression by what you say. Anyone who does this has the wrong idea of religion. Pure, unspoiled religion. You see, that's the conviction of James and Jesus alike, that the creation of God is good. You and I are fundamentally good. All of God's creatures are good, even the ones we don't understand, snakes, cockroaches, whatever it might be that the children had on their hearts and minds. Everything that is good. It's that it gets corrupted. And pure, even religion, even faithfulness, even the deepest moments of our spirituality can be corrupted by our fashioning it in our image rather than being reshaped into the image of Christ. Pure, unspoiled religion in the eyes of God our Father is this: coming to the help of orphans and widows when they need it. And as I mentioned earlier, I've heard Dan say at least a dozen times over my 4+ years here, our church's finest hour emerged in response to this community's great challenge and disaster. And it didn't stop. And it didn't stop. And it didn't stop. And we had no way to keep going except by the grace of God and the resiliency of people who would let that grace lead them into, what's the next? Oh, well, can I wash your clothes? Oh, you need Pampers. Oh, how about some water? I mean, time and again, this happened in this place for this community. Coming to the help of orphans and widows and an expanded notion of orphans and widows when they need it. But here's the hardest one of all, because we do that well at this church. Our food pantry exceeds any possible measure of what anyone could have ever hoped that we could do. And we exceed it every week because of God's love alive in you. There's no way we can feed this many, help this many families in a month. It's unbelievable, except by the grace of God. But here's the problem. The last line of this whole text, and keep oneself uncontaminated by the world. The world's going to teach us to hate. Who fits in? Who doesn't? Who qualifies? Who doesn't? Who do we hate? Who do we love? You see, pure, unspoiled religion is coming to the aid of those who need it and finding the grace of God sufficient to keep you and me uncontaminated by the world. TV tells us what to think, what to buy, who to be every day. Rolling Stone sang about it nearly 50 years ago. I can't get no satisfaction. How white my shirt should be, all that kind of stuff. I just can't stand it. But James speaks to us a word that is timely and true. All of God's creatures are good. You are good. When evil emerges, it is because you have chosen to take a different path. Pure, unspoiled religion is coming to the aid of those who need it and keeping yourself uncontaminated by the world. May God lead you through the contamination this day. May God raise you to new life and offer you as a sign of healing and hope, of forgiveness and grace, of light and life to another. And maybe another, and perhaps another still. Hear the word of the Lord. As Jesus puts it in Mark's gospel again and again, let anyone who has ears hear the word of the Lord. Amen.